Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi anbiya illahi, Sayyid al-Mursaleen. May Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most honored of all prophets of Allah, the chief of all the messengers, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and likewise all of his family and companions in entirety. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then all praise is due to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, on this 12th day of the month of Dhul Qi'dah, the 11th month of the year 1438. We resume our weekly sessions with our dear, respected brothers and sisters in the state of Florida through the coordination of our brothers at the Tarbiyah Initiative of South Florida and at the various masjids and whoever is connected through those efforts. May Allah Ta'ala bless all of you, those of you listening now, and those of you who listen later. May Allah Ta'ala increase you all in goodness and bless you. We return at this time to our study of Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles, as authored by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah Ta'ala. And we have been studying from the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him. And we've reached the statement of the author, وَافْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْعِبَادِ. Allah Ta'ala has imposed as a duty upon all of the servants, الْكُفْرَ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, that they must disown, denounce, and disbelieve in all things worshipped besides Allah. They're called طَاغُوتِ. وَالْإِيمَانَ بِاللَّهِ, and they also must have faith in Allah. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى, Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah the Most High have mercy on him, stated, At-taghutu ma tajawaza bihi al-abdu haddahu min ma'budin aw matbu'in aw muta'in. The word taghut, things worshipped besides Allah, is a reference to things that have gone beyond the limit, their limits, of things worshipped, or things followed, or things obeyed, things or people. And in commentary, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, Arada Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, the great scholar of Islam, he wanted here, may Allah have mercy on him, bihadha anna tawheed la yatimmu, the tawheed is not to be completed, it cannot be fulfilled, illa bi'ibadatillahi wahdahu, except through the worship of Allah alone, exclusively, la sharika lahu, no partner being attributed to him in that worship, وَاجْتِنَابِ الطَّاغُوتِ, and as well through the shunning of all false deities. وَقَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ, and verily Allah has imposed that as a duty upon his servants. وَالطَّاغُوتُ مُشْتَقٌ مِنَ الطُّغْيَانِ, and the word طَاغُوت is linguistically derived from the word طُغْيَان, from the verb طَغَى. طُغْيَانُ, the Shaykh explains, مُجَاوَزَةُ الْحَدِّ, it is to go beyond the limit. وَمِنْهُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and from the linguistic usage of this word is the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّا لَمَّا طَغَى الْمَاءُ حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ, verily, once the water transgressed, the water here is the rain in the time of Noah, transgressed, meaning much rain came down, filling up the earth, then we carried you, meaning Noah and all of those with him, upon the moving ship. From Surah Al-Haqqah, the 11th verse. يعني, and this means, لَمَّا زَادَ الْمَاءُ عَلَى الْحَدِّ الْمُعْتَادِ, when water, the rainwater, rose up above the normal levels, حَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ يعني السفينة, we carried you upon the ship. وَاصْطِلَاحًا, and in the technical usage of the word طُغْيَان, that which the word طاغوت is from, أحسن ما قيل في تعريفه, the best thing that's been offered as a definition for this word طاغوت, ما ذكره ابن القيم رحمه الله, is what ابن القيم mentioned, may Allah have mercy on him, أنه أي الطاغوت, that is, meaning طاغوت is, كل ما تجاوز به العبد حده, every single thing that the worshipper in his relationship with it goes beyond the limit. من معبود, of a thing worshipped, أو متبوع, or a thing or person followed, أو مطاع, or a thing or person obeyed. ومراده بالمعبود والمتبوع والمطاع غير الصالحين. His intention in the three things stated here, things or people worshipped, things or people followed, and things or people obeyed, he means here other than the righteous people. Not that you can worship righteous people, as you'll see, but listen. أما الصالحون, as for righteous people, فليسوا طواغيت, then they are not طاغوتس. وإن عبدوا, even if they are worshipped, they don't become طاغوت. طاغوت is a negative description. You can't call prophets of Allah who are worshipped طاغوتس. أو اتبعوا, or if they were followed, right? And that's not really possible to be followed in opposition to the order of Allah. أو اطيعوا, or if they were obeyed, and as well they're obeyed by the command of Allah here. So if they're worshipped, really, the point of violation here is when the prophets are worshipped, or the angels, the messengers from the angel kind, are worshipped besides Allah. They are righteous worshippers of Allah. They didn't do anything to deserve that worship, and they did not call to it. In this case, فَالْأَصْنَامُ الَّتِي تُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ طَوَاغِيتُ, the idols that are worshipped besides Allah, they are, by definition, طَوَاغِيتُ, the plural of طَاغُوت. They are طَاغُوتُ. And there's no problem calling them طَاغُوتُ, right, as they are worshipped besides Allah. وَعُلَمَاءُ السَّوْءِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الضَّلَالِ وَالْكُفْرِ, and the scholars of evil, meaning people of knowledge who use knowledge for evil, those who call to misguidance and disbelief, they are followed and they are obeyed in opposition to the order of Allah. أَوْ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْبِدَعِ, or those who call to innovations. أَوْ إِلَى تَحْلِيلِ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ, or those who call to the allowing of matters forbidden by Allah. أَوْ تَحْرِيمِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ, or the forbidding of matters that have been made permissible by Allah. طَوَاغِيتُ, all of such people are طَوَاغِيتُ, they have gone beyond the limits, they are طَاغُوتُ. وَالَّذِينَ يُزَيِّنُونَ لِوُلَاتِ الْأَمْرِ, and those who try to beautify the concept for the leaders of the Muslims, الْخُرُوجَ عَنْ شَرِيعَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ, beautifying for them, decorating for them, making it interesting to them to go against the legislation of Islam. بِنُظُومٍ يَسْتَوْرِدُونَهَا, by systems of law that are brought in from outside of the Muslim countries, مُخَالِفَةً لِنِظَامِ الدِّينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, those which are in opposition to the systems of law in the Islamic religion, طَوَاغِيتُ, all of those people who do that are also طَاغُوتُ. لِأَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ تَجَاوَزُوا حَدَّهُمْ, because such people, they have gone beyond their limits. فَإِنَّ حَدَّ الْعَالِمِ, that's because the limit of a scholar, a person of knowledge, أَنْ يَكُونَ مُتَّبِعًا لِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, is that he is to remain in following of all that has come from the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. لِأَنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ حَقِيقَةً, because the scholars in reality, they are وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاء, they are the inheritors of the Prophets. يَرِثُونَهُمْ فِي أُمَّتِهِمْ عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا وَأَخْلَاقًا, they inherit from them amongst their nation, and they cause the people to inherit from the Prophets as well, knowledge, action, and character. وَدَعْوَةً وَتَعْلِيمًا, and the call to what's correct and teaching. فَإِذَا تَجَاوَزُوا هَذَا الْحَدَّ, so if they go beyond this limit, وَصَارُوا يُزَيِّنُونَ لِلْحُكَامِ الْخُرُوجَ عَنْ شَرِيَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and they become people who try to beautify or entice the leaders to go outside of the Islamic legislation. بِمِثْلِ هَذِهِ النُّذُمِ, with the likes of these kinds of systems of governance, meaning foreign systems of governance, not Islam, فَهُمْ طَوَاغِيتُ, then they are in that case طَاغُوتُ. لِأَنَّهُمْ تَجَاوَزُوا مَا كَانَ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْ يَكُونُوا عَلَيْهِ, because they have gone beyond the limit of what was obligatory for them to be upon, مِنْ مُتَابَعَةِ الشَّرِيعَةِ, of following the Islamic legislation. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ أو مطاع, that's for his statement, may Allah have mercy on him, or someone obeyed, someone or something obeyed. فَيُرِيدُ بِهِ الْأُمَرَاءُ, He intends by this the leaders, the governmental leaders. الَّذِينَ يُطَاعُونَ شَرْعًا أَوْ قَدَرًا. Those who are obeyed either by legislative rules or by forceful rules, as we'll see from the examples of the Shaykh. فَالْأُمَرَاءُ يُطَاعُونَ شَرْعًا. So leaders are obeyed by legislative rules. إِذَا أَمَرُوا بِمَا لَا يُخَالِفُ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ. They're obeyed so long as they order with what does not go against the order of Allah wa Rasulihi, or the order of His Messenger. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْحَالِ. And in such a situation, لَا يَصْدُقُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنُّهُمْ طَوَاغِيتٌ. It's not appropriate that they be called طَاغُوتٌ in that case, ordering the people with orders, but those orders are permissible.
وَالْوَاجِبُ لَهُمْ عَلَى الرَّعِيَّةِ السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ.
And in such a case, the obligation that is upon the followers is that they hear and they obey.
وَطَاعَتُهُمْ لِوُلَاتِ الْأَمْنِ فِي هَذَا الْحَالِ.
And their obedience to the leaders in this case, بِهَذَا الْقَيْدِ, with this condition, is
طَاعَةً لِلَّهِ,
that it be in obedience to Allah عَزَّ وَجَلْ, the Mighty and Majestic.
وَلِهَذَا يَنْبَغِي أَن نُلَاحِظَ حِينَ نُنَفِّذَ مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ وَلِيُّ الْأَمْرِ.
And thus it is a must on us that we keep in mind at the time of implementing what the Muslim leaders have ordered us to do,
مِمَّا تَجِبُ طَاعَتُهُ فِيهِ,
from those matters that we are obliged to obey them in,
أَنَّنَا فِي ذَلِكَ نَتَعَبَّدُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى,
that in our obedience to them, we are actually worshipping Allah the Most High.
وَنَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيْهِ بِطَاعَتِهِ,
and we are drawing near to Him through an act of obedience to Him, to Allah.
حَتَّى يَكُونَ تَنْفِيذُنَا لِهَذَا الْأَمْنِ قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ,
so that our implementation of such an order would be counted as an act of drawing near to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic.
وَإِنَّمَا يَنْبَغِي لَنَا,
and it's also something that we must do, we must keep that in mind. Because Allah the Most High has said,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا,
O you who have believed, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ, obey Allah, obey the Messenger, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, and those in authority amongst you. From Surah An-Nisa, the 59th verse.
وَأَمَّا طَاعَةُ الْأُمَرَاءِ قَدَرًا.
As for obedience of the leaders, qadaran, meaning through the qadr, through whatever has to take place.
فَإِنَّ الْأُمَرَاءَ إِذَا كَانُوا أَقْوِيَاءَ.
And the leaders, if they are strong, meaning militarily, having a police force and all of that, فِي سُلْطَتِهِمْ, in their government, in their authority in the land,
فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ يُطِيعُونَهُمْ,
then the people obey them, بِقُوَّةِ السُلْطَانِ, based on the strength of their leadership, the strength of their government, their military, and so on.
وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ بِوَازِعِ الْإِيمَانِ.
That's even without that being, through faith being the driving force behind that.
لِأَنَّ طَاعَةَ وَلِيِّ الْأَمْرِ.
That's because obedience to the rulers, تَكُونُ بِوَازِعِ الْإِيمَانِ, sometimes it is done with faith as the reason behind it, the driving force behind it.
وَهَذِهِ هِيَ الطَّاعَةُ النَّافِعَةُ.
And this is the beneficial kind of obedience of the leaders. النافعة لولاة الأمر. It is something beneficial to the leaders themselves. والنافعة للناس أيضا. It's beneficial to the followers as well. وقد تكون الطاعة بوازع السلطان. And it's also a possibility that the people will obey their leaders just because of their governmental strength and their power.
بحيث يكون قويا يخشى الناس منه.
In how the leader is powerful and the people are afraid of him.
وَيُحَابُونَهُ,
and they have respect for him because of that.
لِأَنَّهُ يُنَكِّلُ بِمَنْ خَالَفَ أَمْرَهُ,
because he'll punish and make an example out of anyone who violates his orders.
وَلِهَذَا,
and thus,
نَقُولُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ مَعَ حُكَّامِهِمْ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ لَهُمْ أَحْوَالٍ.
We say that people, as it relates to their relationship with their rulers in this issue, have different situations. And the Shaykh is going to mention four situations here.
Al-halu al-ula,
the first situation.
And yaqwa al-wazi'u al-imani,
that the
driving force of faith, the intention of obedience being rooted in faith, is present. وَالرَّادِعُ السُّلْطَانِ, and fearing the punishment of their enforcement, let's say. وَهَذِهِ أَكْمَلُ الْأَحْوَالِ وَأَعْلَاهَا, and this is the most complete of all situations and the highest ranking, meaning best situation. That the people have iman, and they obey their leaders because they don't want to be jailed or be punished and so on. Combining those two things. Why? Because when the people are weak in their religion, they won't slip as far as they're going to slip. They're going to slip slightly, and then they're going to be held accountable. Right? And they'll be reminded through that. Al-halu thaniya, the second situation. And yad'ufa, al-wazi'u al-imani, that the driving force of faith is weakened. Wal-radi'u sultani, and as well, the leaders don't have that kind of enforcement. The people aren't afraid of them enforcing anything. وَهَذِهِ أَدْنَى الْأَحْوَالِ, and this is the lowest ranking of all possible situations. وَأَخْطَرُهَا, and the most dangerous of them. عَلَى الْمُجْتَمِعِ, for the whole society. عَلَى حُكَامِهِ وَمَحْكُومِهِ, upon the leaders of that society and the people of that society. Why? لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا ضَعُفَ الْوَازِعُ الْإِيمَانِيُّ وَالرَّادِعُ السُّلْطَانِيُّ. That's because when the driving force of faith, meaning faith being the reason why you obey, when that's weakened, and then the respect you have for them, fearing their punishment, is also weakened. حَصَلَتِ الْفَوْضَى الْفِكْرِيَّةِ وَالْخُلُقِيَّةِ. Then intellectual and social chaos takes place that's related to thoughts, and as well, manners, wal-amaliyah, and actions. Al-halu thalitha, the third possible situation, and yad'ufa al-wazi'u al-imaniyu, that the religious factor in obeying the leaders becomes weakened. Wa yaqwa al-radi'u al-sultani, however, they have a strong level of enforcement, of rules. Wa hadhihi martabatun wusta, this is a middle level. لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا قَوِيَ الرَّادِعُ السُّلْطَانِ, that's because if the enforcement of the leaders is strong, صَارَ أَصْلَحَ لِلْأُمَّةِ فِي الْمَظْهَرِ, is something that brings about rectification for the people, the nation, in what's apparent. فَإِذَا اخْتَفَتْ قُوَّةُ السُّلْطَانِ, but when the strength of the authority, when the enforcement, the strength of the governmental enforcement is then missing, or hidden, or not apparent, or weakened, then فَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْ حَالِ الْأُمَّةِ وَسُوءِ عَمَلِهَا, then don't even ask about how bad the situation of the ummah would get and how poor their actions would be. Meaning they're relying on the enforcement of the government, which is generally good, but then the government's absent and they're not enforcing something for a time, and the people will all fall into it because they're not avoiding it religiously. They're only avoiding it when it's being enforced. Like we all know. You all know if there's a place in the city where the speed limit's enforced perfectly. And it's known, right? If you go 5 miles over the speed limit, there'll be a police car pulling you over. You know you're going to drive through that neighborhood carefully. And you know if there's a stretch of the highway where it's been said no one has ever been pulled over on this highway for years, then you know the people will pay no regard to the speed limit, by and large. The people won't care because they say no one gets pulled over on this stretch. And so if the speed limit is 45... they'll easily do 65 or 70 without worrying because they say no one ever gets pulled over here. Why? Because the driving force behind obedience in that case is to avoid a ticket. And so therefore, when the tickets are not there and the enforcement is not there, the people don't care. But if the people were devout religiously, convinced in the benefit of that speed limit, and they, upon knowledge, and if they were, for example, in a Muslim society, where they were keeping in mind their duty to obey the leaders, and the leaders put a speed limit there. And so obedience to the Muslim leaders now is obeying that speed limit. You'll find many of the people, even if it's not policed, they will fall back to obedience to Allah, and they will not violate the speed limits and so on. Al-halatu al-rabi'a, the fourth possible scenario, أن يقوى الوازع الإيماني ويضعف الرادع السلطاني. That's when the faith behind the obedience is strong, but the enforcement of the leadership is weak. فَيَكُونَ الْمَظْهَرُ أَدْنَى مِنْهُ فِي الْحَالِ الثَّالِثَةِ. The apparent situation will be that it's not as strong as the previously mentioned situation. لكنه فيما بين الإنسان وربه أكمل وأعلى.
However, it will be the case that between a man and his Lord alone, in secret, this will be more complete and higher in rank. How is that? Because they worship Allah with their obedience, even when it's not enforced. They say, I obey Allah, not because I don't want a ticket, not because I don't want to be jailed, but I obey Allah and I follow the rules. Right? So their strength of their iman is good. But then the reality is, how many people would live like that? Only a select minority would choose to fear Allah when there's no enforcement. And that's why Allah Ta'ala, knowing the human condition, being the creator of the human beings, He legislated for us religious reasons to avoid disobedience, and He legislated for us the obligation of implementing laws that forbid us from allowing disobedience to spread in our societies. وَالطَّوَاغِيتُ, on page 153, the kinds of طَاغُوت, they are كَثِيرَةٌ, there are many. وَرُؤُسُهُمْ خَمْسَةٌ, and their heads, the main categories, are five in number. Firstly, إِبْلِيسُ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ, Iblis, the devil, Allah's curse be upon him. That's the first one. Secondly, وَمَنْ عُبِدَ وَهُوَ رَاضٍ, and whoever is worshipped whilst he is pleased with that. Pleased being worshipped. وَمَنْ دَعَى النَّاسَ إِلَى عِبَادَةِ نَفْسِهِ, and then thirdly, the one who calls the people to worship himself. And there are differences between these that will be explained by the Shaykh. And then fourthly, وَمَنْ دَعَى شَيْئًا مِنْ عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ, whoever claims to have knowledge of any matter of the unseen, in parentheses, without that coming from a messenger with revelation from Allah, meaning from his own self he knows the unseen. And fifthly, وَمَنْ حَكَمَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ, and whoever judges by or rules by other than what Allah has sent down, that's coming in the next page of the text. The Shaykh says, regarding the heads of the tawaghit, he says, أي زعماؤهم ومقلدوهم خمسة, the very heads of the tawaghit, the taghuts, and their followers are five categories. Regarding Iblis, he says, Iblis هو الشيطان الرجيم اللعين, he is the accursed, an outcast devil. الذي قال الله له, the one whom Allah said to him, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and upon you is certainly my curse until the day of recompense. From Surah Sad, the 78th verse. وَكَانَ إِبْلِيسُ مَعَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فِي صُحْبَتِهِمْ, and Iblis was in the company of the angels, along with them. يَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِهِمْ, doing the kinds of things that they were doing at the time when Allah ordered the prostration to Adam. وَلَمَّا أَمَرَ بِالسُّجُودِ لِآدَمَ, and when Allah ordered that prostration be made to Adam, ظَهَرَ مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْخُبْثِ وَالْإِبَاءِ وَالْإِسْتِكْبَارِ, then what was within him of filth and haughtiness and arrogance came out. فَأَبَى, and he refused. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ, and he behaved arrogantly. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and he was from those who were disbelievers. فَطُرِدَ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and so he was cast out of the mercy of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High has said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ, and when we said to the angels, prostrate all of you to Adam, meaning in respect, not in worship, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ, they all bowed down in prostration except for Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ, he refused and became arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and he was from the disbelievers. From Surah Al-Baqarah, the 34th verse. And then regarding those who are worshipped and they're happy with that, أي عُبِدَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, he's been worshipped along with Allah. وَهُوَ رَاضٍ, while he is pleased with that. And يُعْبَدَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, pleased with being worshipped beside Allah. فَإِنَّهُ مِن رُؤُوسِ الطَّوَاغِيتِ, then he's from the heads of the طَاغُوتِ. وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, and refuge with Allah is sought. وَسَوَاءً عُبِدَ فِي حَيَاتِهِ, whether he's been worshipped in his lifetime, أو بعد ماماته, or after his death, إذا مات وهو راض بذلك, if he dies and he is pleased with that. If there are some people, they're not given any attention in their life, but they may leave some kind of special wasiyah, special will, final will, where they advise certain things. And they may ask, come to my grave and slaughter such and such every year or something like that. They may request that. So in their lifetime, they were never objects of worship. Yet, somehow, after their death, they became objects of worship, while during their life, they would not have a problem with that. So they are, in that case, taghut. As opposed to the one who's taken as an object of worship without ever having invited to that or been pleased with it. And he's not from the taghut. The fifth note here is, وَمَنْ دَعَ النَّاسَ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ نَفْسِهِ, regarding the one who calls the people to worship him. أي مَنْ دَعَ النَّاسَ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ نَفْسِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْبُدُوهُ. The one who calls the people to worship him, even if they don't worship him. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ رُؤُوسِ الطَّوَاغِيتِ. Then certainly he is from the heads of tawagit. سَوَاءً أُجِيبَ لِمَا دَعَ إِلَيْهِ. Whether he's got a response from the people for what he's calling them to, أَمْ لَمْ يُجَبْ, or he's not been answered. Now the sixth note there is regarding the one who claims to have knowledge of the unseen. وَالْغَيْبُ مَا غَابَ عَنِ الْإِنسَانِ. The ghaib, the unseen, is what is hidden from a person. وَهُوَ نَوْعَانِ. And it is of two types. وَاقِعٌ وَمُسْتَقْبَلٌ. It is present and future. فَغَيْبُ الْوَاقِعُ نِسْبِيٌ. So the unknown of the present is relative. يَكُونُ لِشَخْصٍ مَعْلُومًا. It is to one person something known. And what's in your house, you know those things. And they are ghaib to me, because I don't know what's in your house. Likewise, my house is known to me, but not known to you. What's inside? So these are ghaib to you. Present tense, ghaib, unknown things. وَلِآخَرَ مَجْهُولًا. Known to one person, but not known to another. وَغَيْبُ الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. As for the ghaib of the future, the unknown things of the future, حَقِيقِيٌ. They are reality, ghaib, really unknown. لَا يَكُونُ مَعْلُومًا لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. They are not known to anyone other than Allah, وَحْدَهُ alone, أَوْ مَنْ أَطْرَاعُهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Or those whom Allah has given knowledge of, specific knowledge of that, to one of His messengers. فَمَنِ ادَّعَى عِلْمَهُ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. And whoever claims to know knowledge of the unseen, then he is a disbeliever. لِأَنَّهُ مُكَذِّبٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلٌ. Because he has rejected Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَلِرَسُولِهِ. And he has rejected His messenger. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah, the Most High, has said, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, none in the heavens or upon earth know the ghaib, the unseen, other than Allah. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ. And they, meaning the created beings, they don't even know when they are going to be resurrected. From Surah An-Naml, the 65th verse. وَإِذَا كَانَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَأْمُرُ نَبِيَّهُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So if it's the case that Allah the Mighty and Majestic would order His Prophet Muhammad, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, and يُعْلِنَ لِلْمَلَئِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that he would have to announce to the assembly of people that no one in the heavens nor on earth knows the unseen other than Allah. فَإِنَّ مَنِ ادَّعَى عِلْمَ الْغَيْبِ. Then as a result, anyone who claims to know knowledge of the unseen, فَقَدْ كَذَّبَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَرَسُولَهُ. Then he has certainly rejected Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and His messengers, فِي هَذَا الْخَبَرِ, as it relates to this report. وَتَقُولُ لِهَؤُلَاءِ. And you can say to such people, كَيْفَ يُمْكِنُ أَن تَعْلَمُوا الْغَيْبَ. How is it even possible that you know the unseen? وَالنَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. And the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, did not know the unseen. هَلْ أَنْتُمْ أَشْرَفُ أَمِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Are you more honorable with Allah than the Messenger? May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَإِنْ قَالُوا نَحْنُ أَشْرَفُ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ. If they were to claim that they are more honorable to Allah than the Messenger, كَفَرُوا بِهَذَا الْقَوْلِ, then they would be disbelievers clearly by this statement. وَإِنْ قَالُوا هُوَ أَشْرَفُ. If they were to say, no, he is more noble and more honorable to Allah, فَنَقُولُ لِمَاذَا يُحْجَبُ عَنْهُ الْغَيْبُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَهُ. Then how is it the case that he was kept from knowing the unseen, but you somehow come to know it? وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. And verily Allah
the Mighty and Majestic has said about His own self? عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. He's the knower of the unseen. And He does not reveal the unseen to anyone, إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولٍ, except for one of His messengers whom He is pleased with. فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا. And in such case, He places in front of Him and behind Him guardians, meaning angels, to protect Him. From Surah Al-Jinn, the 26th and 27th verses. وَهَذِهِ آيَةٌ ثَانِيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ كُفْرِ مَنِ دَعَىٰ عِلْمَ الْغَيْبِ. And this is a second verse that proves the disbelief of anyone who claims to know the unseen. وَقَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى نَبِيَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يُعْلِنَ لِلْمَلَئِ. And as well, Allah the Most High has ordered His Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, to announce to the assembly of people, بِقَوْلِهِ, with this statement, قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad, I do not claim to you that I have with me the treasures of Allah. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. And I do not know the unseen. وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ. And I do not say to you that I am an angel. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. I only follow after that which has been revealed to me as revelation. From Surah Al-An'am, the 50th verse. And we're going to stop here at this time as our brothers have their adhan there in Florida. And we read much for this session. Walhamdulillah, we thank Allah Ta'ala and we ask Him to increase us in what we come together to get of benefit. I'll mention to you something that's important for us locally, and perhaps it has a benefit there in Florida just before we finish. And that is, we have a man here named Salik ibn Siddina, or however his last name is to be pronounced. A Mauritanian Sufi, Ash'ari. And from his core teachings that he teaches, and there are masjids here who bring him and pay for him to visit here and promote his classes. And alhamdulillah, for the past 6 months or so, we haven't seen him. But it was a true calamity last year, from the summer to the winter, that he had come to Pittsburgh 3 or 4 times. And they had been bringing him so regularly. Walhamdulillah, we raised our voices here in this minbar and here in this masjid. And we said, we don't want the shirk of this man in our city. And shame on you for bringing him. He said that from what the Prophet knew, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was everything in the loh, everything in the loh al-mahfuz, everything in the preserved tablet was known to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is a statement of disbelief, in contradiction to this ayat that we've just read. قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, I do not say to you I own the treasures of Allah. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. And I do not know the unseen. What's in Allah al-Mahfuz? From our aqeedah, what's written in Allah al-Mahfuz? The preserved tablet. What's there? Ahsan. Everything that has happened and everything that will happen from the creation to the end of time. So he knows that, but he doesn't know the ghaib. Then what's ghaib then? What is unseen if not everything written in Allah al-Mahfuz? Every single thing that has happened and will happen to the last day, the Prophet knew it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A statement that rejects the book of Allah Ta'ala. No matter how old he is, no matter how pious he looks, no matter how good his talks are, no matter how much we pay to bring him here and how much honor the people inflate him with and all of that, he's calling you to reject this verse of the Quran and other verses from the Quran with his false Sufi aqidah. We ask Allah Ta'ala for safety with him from it, and for our brothers as well. We hope that they realize the danger of deviation. It's not that we sit in this masjid and warn against people frivolously because we like to talk about people, but we love for our brothers that they be clean, that they worship Allah with tawheed. We hope that we love that for ourselves, and that as a result of our faith, we love that for our brothers. And we hope that violations of the correct aqidah, like believing that some of the creation of Allah knew every single thing in the creation of the past, present, and future, we hope that we would hate this kind of disbelief for ourselves. And we hope as well we would hate it for our brothers and sisters in Islam. And so yes, we may speak harshly against this individual and those who would host him wrongly and oppressively, wasting and squandering the wealth of the Muslims, bringing him here.
in a way that is not permissible, wallahi, it's not permissible for you to take the money of the Muslims and then bring them deviation as a result. It is betrayal. We ask Allah Ta'ala to guide all of those who facilitate these kinds of things. And we ask Allah not only to guide them to cease such things, but to guide them to rectify the falsehood that they have helped to bring into the city. Not just stop bringing him and remain silent, but work together with the people of the correct aqidah who seek to spread clarity on the issues that this man has corrupted for those who have trusted him mistakenly. We ask Allah Ta'ala for safety with him. وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.